tonight. If you would stand with us, please, if you're able, turn with us to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Amen. 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I'd like to begin reading with verse 25 of that chapter. I trust you'll pray for us tonight. God would help. My voice is getting raspy and my body is getting weary. Maybe you don't understand that, but when you pass 72, you will. I never thought I'd ever say that in my life. I never knew that you could get tired until about 15 years ago. Amen. But you do get tired once in a while. Amen. Have you found the place? The 14th chapter of Luke. I want to begin reading with verse 25. And there was a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intend to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king, setteth not down first and counteth, or consulteth whether he is able to with 10,000 to meet them that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth a messenger and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But man cast it out, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear. Brother Jeff Melton, would you pray for us, please?
Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again this evening.
Oh God, we need your touch again, Lord.
We pray your touch upon thy servant and upon the word. Oh
God, in heaven move tonight. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank the Lord. Amen. In verse 25 and verse 26, you'll notice something there. And even today, the Lord seemed to enlighten my heart just a little more along these two verses. And I thought here, if a man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and brother and sister, and even his own self, he cannot be my disciple. Now, there's a great meaning there, friend, that we are going to have to forsake some things if we're going with God. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean that you literally hate them with a hatred that you want to destroy them. But it's that turning away from them if they try to cause you to stumble or to hold back from serving God and going all the way with Him. That's what that scripture means. Amen. I thought, you know, if we're going to serve the Lord, we've got to have a self-examination. Every once in a while, I go before the Lord to examine myself to see where I'm standing. Amen. I want to know where I'm at in the sight of God. It's dangerous to get a little loose, you know, and feel like you're secure when you know that there's a vacancy or a void in your life. I want to know Nothing should stand between you and the Lord. You should have it settled. Doesn't make any difference what it is. Whether it's your family, whether it's your husband or wife, children, job, church, home. Doesn't make any difference. You're going to have to settle it. Nothing is going to stand between my soul and the Savior. Amen. As I looked at that 26th verse, if your home, if your job comes between you and the Lord, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. It's just that simple. And I thought if I would use a subject thought tonight, I would like to use the thought of counting the cost. Counting the cost. There's so many that fail to count the cost of what it is going to be when they start out with the Lord. It's so easy to say, well, others have made it, and surely we can, and that's true. I believe that. But I believe we need to sit down and consider some things. And we would begin to consider that our life is at stake, our soul is at stake. We need to do some counting, don't we? Now, I don't claim to be a very good builder, but I am a builder. I never build a thing unless I sit down first and try to figure out what it was going to cost me. Amen. We just completed a building not long ago, a church. And as we sit down, and I sit down with some other fellows, and we begin to figure the cost. And we begin to let a lot of these things go through our mind, and then we begin to communicate together, and we come to the conclusion that we thought we could make it on a certain amount. But then we fail to figure. We run into some problems, you see. You don't want to figure too close. I'm talking about construction now. But we figured too close, and we had what we call a sort of quicksand underneath this building, this church. And we had to go so much deeper than we intended to hit solid rock. But after it was all over, it seemed like the Lord worked it out to where we lost there, we gained in other areas. I'm trying to say tonight, friend, we need to be careful in counting the cost, because we're going to stand before an Almighty God one day, and He's going to ask us some questions, and we're going to have to give an answer. Amen. What hast thou done with my son Jesus? What have you done with the blessed Holy Ghost? I mean, there's going to be questions that we're going to have to face. We're going to be confronted with those things. And we want to make sure that the cost, thank God, we figured it out before we plunged in, because there's no turning in the things of God. We're either going with God or we're not going with God. It's either heaven or hell. We've got to make a decision which way we're going. Amen. God help us. How many people today really sit down and count the cost, friend? Amen. If their soul should be lost. How many really sat down? Oh, we're living in such a fast pace, and the world seems to be rolling on, and everything seems to just be a joy. In all that we do, we're just having a big frolic or fun. Amen. But we're not counting the cost. I've thought so many times, you know, it's so easy to look around and say, well, others, and I've said this through this meeting, others are getting by. But we don't measure ourselves by others. We don't compare ourselves by him that compareth himself, but we're living according to the Word of God. Amen. When the Lord says, come out from among them and be ye separate, he meant exactly that, didn't he? Come on. He didn't say that some of you can come out and the others can stay and then we can trade off every once in a while. No, I believe he wants us to be completely separated from the world. Hallelujah. We've got to count the cost. It's important to know. The songwriter said, have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? I thought about, and I mentioned it in this meeting already, I thought about Saul's life. Saul really didn't count the cost. It was too late. When he came to himself and realized his condition, he realized then it was too late to do anything about it. But he tried. He went to other resources, such as the witch of Endor, and tried to receive help. But listen, friend, we will go to every means that we possibly can when we come to the end of the way and feel that we have encountered the cost. A friend of mine some years ago, I tried my best not to interfere as far as his personal life. But it got to the place I felt like I was obligated to talk to him. He was leaving and he was going to, I believe, New York. And I told him, I said, Charlie, I said, I think you're making a terrible mistake. He said, oh, no, Brother Watts. He said, I believe that the Lord will help me. I said, Charlie, I said, have you counted the cost about this transferring? Moving out of the section, moving out of the area, and going to New York, and you don't know anyone up there, Charlie. There's no church there like you're used to in that area. Charlie said, I believe I can make it all right. But he didn't count the cost. About a year and a half later, Charlie lost his life in a drunken state. Now here was a man that God had called to preach, friend. Amen. Had called him to preach and God had given him instruction and he'd followed the Lord until it looked like there was popularity, there was money and all these things. But those things would drag you to the bottom, the very pit, friend. I want you to know it's not money, it's the love of those things. Amen. And we're living in a time. And let me quote J. Wesley Adcock again. Brother, we're living in a day, and I've seen it in the holiness circles, that if money don't get your morals wheeled, and we better be careful today that we're falling by the wayside in the holiness church today because of morals and money. Amen. We're not counting the cost. Amen. You remember when Samuel said, have you done the will of the Lord? Oh, yes, I have. But God knew, and God had revealed to Samuel exactly what Saul had did. Did you know you can't hide from God? Did you know God knows every one of us tonight? God knows everything about us tonight. And we can't hide from the Lord. He knows the in and out of you. And brother, you may think you're hiding, but God knows you. And God knows the intention of your heart. Amen. We better count the cost, Brother Gordon, before we step out. Amen. I never was much of a swimmer. I tell you, I just never enjoyed that type of a thing. Amen. When I was a young boy, we used to go out, you know, and we'd back up a creek, you know, build a dam down there and back the water up and swim around like mud daubers, you know. Just a little hole of water, maybe 2 or 3 feet deep, and we'd just wallow around, and we thought we were having a good time. It came a big storm, and our place we had built up, it was about 6 foot high, and that storm pushed all the water out into that little creek, and some of the fellas said, let's go swimming. So we thought we'd try it, you know. We went up in that holler. We looked at it. And, of course, you know what boys say? The last one in is a turkey. I said, I'm fearful of that water. I don't know what's washed down that creek. Anything could be in there. Some of them said, I'm going to jump in. I said, you go ahead. I waited on the bank. I was counting the cost. Why? I wanted to make sure there was nothing in there that I'd hurt myself. Amen. Come on. A friend of mine by the name of Otis Cochran, down in the state of Tennessee in the mountains, said, come on, let's go. Let's hit the water. Oh, some of them said, I'm fearful. This is a time, a season, that there are water moccasins in the creek. You want to be careful. Some of the other boys sat back and said, you go ahead. Otis said, I'm not jumping in there. I'm going to wait. I'm going to watch for a while. One of the boys jumped in. And about that time he screamed, don't come in! Don't come in! And they thought he was just making a big joke. But he got into a mess of water moccasins. And they were eating him alive. They were just a swarm of them. They finally seen them popping up in the water. The other boys had counted the cost. Before they got the boy out of the water, he was dead. Amen. Are you listening to me? We need to count the cost, friend, in serving God. We're either going God's way or we're not going at all. Amen. The Lord is trying to bring revival all over this country. And I'm fearful that people are locking up and they're shutting down. They don't want God. They don't want revival. They just want a pretense and a profession. What we need is a Holy Ghost move where it'll shake us loose from our complacency. Amen. Shake us loose, Lord. We've settled down. We've located ourselves and we're just not going to move. Hello? Amen. Samson didn't count the cost. Oh, even though he was tried to be convinced by the parents, don't go this way, but I want this woman. A lot of people, friend, will not count their cost. Listen, and go out and marry out of the will of God. Amen. Down the road somewhere, they have three or four children. And then they say, we can't separate now. Why do we go to the children? That isn't God's fault.
That's right.
Come on.
Amen.
That isn't God's fault, friend. Amen. You remember Samson laid his head in a lap of sin. In Delilah's lap. Amen. They cut his hair. Well, that wouldn't be bad today if somebody cut some of the hair on some of these poodle dog fellas that I see running around. Amen. But he was a Nazarite. He wasn't supposed to have it cut. That was God's order. Amen. But you think we can get by without obeying God? The Lord, He's just not all that He thinks He is. I'll just show Him. Come on now. And I've seen it happen in the holiness word, friend, that people think they can defy God and get by. They're not counting the cost. There's going to be a payday there. It doesn't always come on October. Come on. It doesn't come in July. No, no. It comes when God says, now is the time. Amen. Now is the accepted hour. Now is the day. Brother, there's coming a time, I believe, that God is laying the hammer down and He's trying to help people to realize that we need to count the cost. We're going to be lost if we don't follow God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's easy to say, I'm going to take the way, but become loose and frivolous and light in our experience of grace. God help us. Samson played with sin. It don't pay, does it? Not at all, friend. Judas did not count the cost. You remember him. Oh, how he betrayed our blessed Savior. Didn't think it'd go as far as it did. Huh? Never thought it'd ever happen like it did. Surely they'll just whip him a little and turn him loose. But they nailed him to the cross because of a follow of his betrayed innocent blood. He didn't count the cost. He looked at the money. He held the bag. Amen. Folks, we need to get to the place where we say, oh God, whatever it takes, help me to count the cost. It's going to cost us something to go with God. Amen. It may cost you your best friends. It may cost you some of your loved ones. You may have to say no to them. They may say, why are you taking that way? Because God said to go this way. Amen. They may look at you and turn their nose up and say, you don't have to be so over-religious. Come on. But are you counting the cost, friend? It's going to take something to get to heaven. It's not an easy road you're traveling toward the city. There's a lot of thorns along the way. Amen. There's some bramble bushes, and they're going to grab a hold of you. Amen. God is trying to help. I think so many times about how Judas tried to repent and how that he came back, threw the money down. I don't want it. But it's too late. It's already happened. You can't reverse something after it's already done. Amen. Oh, God, have mercy. A situation arose in a family. And this family had been warned over and over. Be careful about your children. Be careful about your young daughters. Huh? Oh, my girl, she's well. She knows how to take care of herself. Hello? Amen. Then they come screaming to the preacher. Something happened. And she was going to be a mother. So what are we going to do? The preacher said, you can't take it back. Hello? But you know what happens in a lot of situations? They'll have it aborted. You're just not counting the cost, folks. I'm talking to wholeness folks tonight, I hope. Amen. We're living in a time that I've never seen sin like it is today, and we're not counting the cost. It's taking its toll upon the church, and say we're allowed it to get by in the holiness circle. God forbid. We need to sit down and count the cost. It's happening all over our country. Judas loved riches more than he loved God. Amen. The tragic end of Judas' life was terrible because he failed to count the cost. Amen. Went out and hanged himself. That didn't help matters, did it? It made it worse. You think just because, you know, things happen. I was reading an article from a mission work out there in South Dakota. A young teenage girl. I don't know the girl, but I know the area she's in. And because of things, situations, she went out and put a rope around her neck and jumped. Only 16 years old, died without God. Said, this is the only way to get relief. Listen, we need to count the cost in eternity. Right. She's going to burn forever and ever and ever. It doesn't solve a thing or settle issues when we destroy ourselves. God is trying to awaken America, but we have fallen asleep and we have gotten so far behind what God intended for our churches to be because we fail to count the cost. The places you go, the things you do, the way you act, the way you dress many times, the way you speak, the way you conduct yourself, your mannerism, everything about you. We've got to count the cost. God is laying the hammer down. He's trying to awaken the slumbering conscience of our soul. We've fallen asleep and feel that we're secure in the Lord. But one day we're going to answer to the Lord. Another fellow I was looking at, and I thought of Demas. He didn't count the cost. Loving the present world, the Bible said, more than God. Amen. He was a man that could have made something of himself. Did you know he was with Paul? He was a co-worker of Paul. Yes, sir, an esteemed friend of Paul's. Paul was just, they were just almost bosom buddies. But Demas, listen, he shared in the hardship of Paul. And he was even there at the prison and helped Paul in his prison term. But then something happened. And folks, I want you to know, oh my, Demas was lured away from the faith. No reckoning for him anymore. No place in the Scripture where he ever got back to God. Amen. I've seen people fall from the grace of God, and I thought, surely God, you'll bring them back, and finally seeing them die and drop into hell. How do you know, preacher? There was no way and no place of repentance in their life. Amen. We're going to have to repent or perish. We're going to have to surrender. The struggle is not going to help you. No, not at all. Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't count the cost, feeling, brother, that he could bring things in order according to his own way and will. But God just made him look like an animal, didn't he? Put him out there for about 3 years and let him eat grass like an ox. Hey, man, you say, well, now, brother, you're taking out. Well, you go ahead and study it and see. Hey, man. One fellow, you know, he got up and he was just so braggadocious and he started saying, no place in the Word of God does God call a woman to preach. I said, that's a lie. He said, why? The Lord says, for a woman to not have no power, you know. And not to usurp authority. I said, I agree there. No, usurp authority. But I said, I could read in the Bible where there was a lot of prophetess. And I've never seen a man of prophetess. They're a little different, you know. Amen. Some of these fellows, they just they get something in their noggin, you know, and they think they're King Tut. And they know what they're taught. Well, oh no, I'm afraid they need to do a little more research, a little more study on the Word of God and find out what God has to say about it. Amen. I said, the reason some of them fellas don't like it when women preach, most of them can out-preach them. Amen. God have mercy on us. Now, I haven't lost where I'm at. I'm still counting the cost. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you can think of tonight that failed to go through with God, that failed to count the cost? I could just close my eyes tonight and they begin to go through my mind, the people that failed to count the cost. A man in my church many years ago, the first church ever pastored, he failed. I told him, I said, and called him a name. I said, you better mind God. He said, well, I'm doing all right. I said, you know you're not doing all right. Come on, pastors. We need to talk to our people. We need to tell them, up. Right. Amen. Amen. He said, oh, I'm doing all right. I said, no, no. And he got some scripture in the Old Testament. And he said, I said, where'd you get that? He said, well, it says in the Old Testament, as long as you go in a man's orchard, you can eat all you want, as long as you don't carry it away. I said, you had your basket here full. Hello? There's no scripture like that. Amen. I don't know where people get this idea. Amen. I don't want to get clear off on the subject, but I was pastoring in the state of Tennessee some years ago, and I was teaching the adult men's class, and some of those hillbillies started coming up with some things, you know. And I just let them talk for a little while, and I thought, I don't know where they're getting this, but one fellow said, I read this over in Proverbs. I said, you did? He said, yes. I said, what was that? He said, where a hen scratches, there's sure to be a worm. I said, that's in Proverbs? I said, I'll check it out. I knew it wasn't. Amen. Another one said, oh, he's right. I know. Said, I read a scripture right close to it. Said, every tub sits on its bone bottom. Come on, we can make something out of nothing. And then the last one topped it off. He come up with this. Oh, I read this in Proverbs not long ago. Amen. He that sitteth on the hot stove shall rise. I said, brother, that's not scripture, but it's logic. God help us. We better count the cost, friend. A lot of this foolishness that's going over our country today, we better come to grips and say, God, have mercy on me. Help me to count the cost. Amen. This thing is going to drag us into the very pits of hell because we're failing to count the cost of our soul. Amen. I cry, oh God, help me to live so consistently. Yes. Amen. I was praying this afternoon. I went outside on the patio. I sat down in the lawn chair. And I said, oh God, I feel like I'm the least among your people. The Lord didn't seem to encourage me too much. But I kept on praying. I was digging. I said, Lord, you got to help me. Finally, He came. And I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Something about it. I said, Lord, help me to count the cost. Help me to count the cost. Listen, friend, I'm responsible. I'm responsible. You're responsible. When we realize that we have a great responsibility, we better count the cost real close. Amen. Oh, how easy it is to just say, well, I'll get by some way. No, I'm afraid not, friend. It's not that way. Oh, when you come down to the last mile of the way, you're either going or you're not going. You've either paid the price or you haven't paid the price. Amen. I remember when I bought a new car, my wife said, now, Daddy, if you're going to get a new car, you're going to have to pay the price. I said, I'm too tight. Hello? I'd bargain with these fellas and I'd deal with them. And they'd say, Reverend, this is low as I can go. I said, it's not low enough for me yet. And we keep on talking about the price. And pretty soon I said, well, get your stuff. We're going to go. Wait a minute. They knew they was making money. But I was counting the cost. Amen. I wasn't going to just take it because they said it's a real deal. There's a lot of people in the Holiness Church are accepting things they think it's a real deal. But you better be careful what you get involved in some of the churches today. Amen. Amen. I don't mean that in a derogatory way or mean, ugly, unkind way. No, no. But folks, we better wake up. We better wake up. One fellow said, wake up and smell the roses. See where you're going and what's happening. Amen. Oh my. What about an individual that will not listen, as I said last night, will not listen to advice and go on and trample over the mercies of God and the judgments of God and say, I'll be all right. Don't worry about me. How many people I've seen like this, friend, die, lose their soul, go into eternity. A young fella, I say young, he would be young to me now. But he was probably in his 50s at that time. I remember he came to me time and time again. He'd say, preacher, pray for me. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. And I'd say, Johnny, you're going to have to make up your mind. You're either going with God or you're not going. Johnny looked at me and he said, what have I got to do? I said, you've got to repent of every sin you've committed. You've got to confess it to God, not to me. You've got to confess it to God. You've got to believe that He can save you from those sins. You've got to mean it with your depths of your heart, Johnny. You've got to come clean with God. A lot of folks are not coming clean. Johnny started counting the cost. One day, again, he came in and he was all intoxicated. And I said, oh my. I said, he's just not going to make it. He just can't seem to leave that bottle alone. I got to talking to him and his son came down and he said, Dad wants us to pray again with him. We started praying and finally we got through praying. He looked up at me and he said, now, Pastor, he said, I want you to pray that God will take me to heaven. I said, Johnny, I can't pray that way. I said, I'll pray the Lord have His way in your heart and life. He said, listen, Pastor. He said, that's what he called me. He said, listen, Pastor, I can't make it. The devil's got such a grip on my life. I know that I'm saved right now. I know I'm counting the cost right now. And I know what it'll be. If I fail to go through with God, I'll wind up in hell. His son looked over me and said, Brother Watts, just pray that God will have His way. I said, you lead us in prayer. He began to pray, "Oh God, you know Dad's condition. You know he can't hardly resist this temptation. He's been an alcoholic for years. Lord, whatever it takes to get him to heaven." A week later, I preached his funeral. Well, nothing wrong with him. He just died. I believe that God knew. That God knew he had him ready then. And he was either taking then or be in hell. Listen, friend, we need to count the cost. I'd rather die. Listen to me. I'd rather die right now than to miss heaven, friend, and live another 25 or 30 years. And have all the money that this world could produce to me. Oh, I want to make it, friend. I've got some on the other side that's pulling for me tonight. Whoopee! Hallelujah. Thank God. I get excited every time I think about it. Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise God. You got someone over there pulling for you. Amen. They're saying, "Count the cost, daughter. Count the cost, son. Come on, grandma. Count the cost. I'm that little girl that you love so much. I'm in heaven. Count the cost." Amen. It's going to be worth everything it cost us, friend, to make it through to the city of God. Amen. We fail to count the cost, we soon wind up in trouble. Listen, friend, this is a troubled day that we're living in. Everything's happening. I read the paper, and as I read and scan through the news, I just throw it down. I get tired of it. So much stuff in there. How they capture this one. How they're running this one. This one is mixed up in dope. And this one they found meth in the home. And all sorts of things. All kinds of sin. But they're not counting the cost. Amen. Lord have mercy. What if Naaman had not dipped in the Jordan as God had prompted him to do? The great prophet of old told Naaman what he had to do. But he thought, no, things are far better back home. And the rivers back there are so much cleaner. I'm not going to dip in this nasty Jordan. Huh? Amen. I remember praying for a lady to come to our church. She'd had five husbands. And the man she was with, and then I don't think they was married. They were just, what you call it, shacking up. She came and she got saved. Somebody said, "You better not go around. She's a dirty woman." I said, "She's got a soul."
Right. Amen,
brother. Amen. Brother James, I went into that home. Another fellow and I went over and we knelt down in that house. I'm not exaggerating. It felt like sponge under my knee. It was so filthy. And I only had one good pair of pants and I had them on. I should have wore jeans. But I said, "Oh God, this woman needs help." As before she's saved. As before she's saved. And we prayed there and God settled in. Amen. The glory settled down in that home. I got up and tears was coursing down her face. She said, "Preacher, you're the first man that's ever prayed in my home." They felt it was too filthy. I could have almost said, "It is bad." But when I got into the car, Brother Melton, I looked at my trousers. There wasn't a spot on them. Wasn't a spot. You know what happened the next Sunday? She came to church. Hallelujah! And she plowed through. Thank God. Amen. Not only that, but her family started following. And the man she was living with, she said, "Get out of here." Amen. I'm going the way. I'm going this way. I've counted the cost. Listen to me, friend. I'm afraid a lot of people are not counting the cost. They're just saying, "Well, I'll get by some way." Oh no, friend. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Oh, yes, it will. Amen. So many have failed to count the cost. Naaman said, "Oh, surely these rivers over here, they're not like the rivers at home. I'll just wait and go home." No, his servant said, "Why, if he had asked you something hard, you would have done it easily. But this is simple." And Naaman went down into the river. He just dipped one. Nothing's happened. When God tells you something, He means to do all of it.
Amen. Not just walk around the river and check it out, you know. Stick your toe in it and kind of see if the water's all right. Amen. But he said, I want you to dip 7 times. And brother, when he came out, he didn't have to look at himself. He knew that he was whole. Hallelujah. The leprosy was gone. I tell you, there's a lot of leprosy on the hearts of people today that God needs to have eradicated. Destroyed. That old leprosy of unbelief and hostility and anger and malice, jealousy. Amen. God knows best when He tells us something we need to obey. Are you listening to someone who talks to you and says, well, you don't have to go that route? Can I tell you a little story, personal? I had an aunt that belonged to a Baptist church down in West Virginia. Her son, his wife, prayed clear through in the basement of a little old pilgrim church in Michigan. We was building a new church. We had the top off. It came a terrible rain. Brother Gibson, it came a rain. There's about 6 inches of water down the basement. And we just went ahead and had church anyway. Amen. We just went right through that water and my feet was wet, clear up to my ankles. Amen. Pastor stood up there and he's prancing around that water going, shoo, 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 shoo. Amen. Oh, did they all leave? No, they all stayed. Amen. He gave the altar call. And that morning, I remember, he gave the altar call. And my cousin went to the altar. And his wife went to the altar. And Brother Philip said, this is the first time in my life I've ever seen anybody get saved and baptized the same time. Amen. But you know what happened? They went back down in West Virginia. And my aunt said, you don't have to do all that stuff. There's no sense in all that. They backslid away from God. Oh, they still profess. They still profess. Just like a lot of holiness folks. Still profess. But he said, you know, I'm going to get Billy Graham's movies and I'm going around over the country and evangelize with the movies of Billy Graham. I said, you better start with Billy Graham first and get him saved. Preacher, be careful. Look at the thousands he's gotten saved. If he'd have saved and got everybody saved that he says he has, the whole world be saved. Come on. Amen. Come on, join my church. That isn't what we need. We don't need church membership. We need God on the scene, folks. We need God in our heart. If we get God in our soul, brother, things will change. We need to start counting the cost. Amen. My, my. Do you know where you are tonight? Spiritually, I'm speaking. Oh, my. There are those possibly listen to me tonight that don't know the checks of the Spirit. Why? They haven't counted the cost. God tells you, no, don't go this way. Don't go around that. Leave that alone. Be careful. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you into myself. That where I am, you may be also. And then he tells us over there in John, that in his Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it wasn't so, I'd told you. But he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I'm coming again. Where I am, ye may be also. Hallelujah! What are you talking about, preacher? Counting the cost. I want to go. I'm trying my best to count the cost. Hallelujah. I don't believe I've got too many more years, but I'm going to try to make it count, every bit of it. Praise the Lord. I was in a revival up in Ohio. And I'd been praying. I said, Lord, you increased and gave Hezekiah 15 years. I said, could you give me 15 years? I said, I'll be faithful, Lord. I'll preach against everything from a shoelace to a hairpin. Amen. Praise God. And I got the assurance, I'll help you, son, as long as you'll preach it. Amen. Young fellow was sitting there, and I believe he belonged to the Emmanuel Church. He come in, he said, point on! He come back that night, he said, you know what God promised me? He's going to give you 20. Praise the Lord! He can put spiritualism in your soul. Thank God. Amen. Are you counting the cost? Amen. It's a price, folks. It's a price. When all your family turns against you. Amen. I left a tremendous job working for Ford Motor Company many years ago. My middle sister, she said, "Why are you doing this?" I said, "Because God said to." Huh?